This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast for this Thursday, April 12th of 2007. I'm your host, Red Hot Mama, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hi, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty happy.
Really? Even with all these late games they've had?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good about them because they won the last one. You know,
the last one.
Yeah, those other two are pretty hard to take. But, you know, I didn't stay up for all of the extra innings. I missed a whole half an inning.
But you saw the important part last night.
I did see the important part last night. After I shut down my game thread, putting on the comments during the game, we got in bed, watched a couple more batters in bed, and there was the Latin Love Machine himself, knocking in, two runs?
Two runs. You gave him the lead.
Two runs to give the Reds the lead that they would keep for the rest of the game and go home with the win. I thought it was fantastic that they were pinch hitting for Ross with Javi.
Yeah.
I don't know why that seems like it's a big deal to me, but, you know, they're kind of commenting on it. The commentators were on during the game, where it was like they felt the need to justify Naren's action somehow. Like, they were like, well, they said anyone can be pinch hit for. And I'm like, well, yeah, obviously.
Especially the guy hitting 050 or whatever it's down to, I think.
Seriously, he's like 1 for 15 or something like that. And, you know, Javi's a really good pinch hitter. I mean, we've seen
that. He's one of the best.
He's a very, very good pinch hitter. Funny little swing. You were commenting on his swing last night.
If you, like, watch Griffey's swing, it's like a full body thing. He really gets his legs into it.
Yeah.
Uses his lower body strength to rotate.
Yeah.
Javi doesn't do that. He's all in the arms and the upper body.
Well,
his legs really don't play nearly as much of a role.
They're built quite a bit differently.
I know.
Griffey is like this Athenian athlete. He's just like this perfect athlete-looking body. And then Javi's is kind of a really solidly built, kind of built like a barrel guy. And
it's kind of funny.
He's got a lot of upper body. You can tell his center of gravity is much higher. Well, it's not actually higher because he's so short, but... higher proportionally.
There you go.
But it's really great to see the Latin Love Machine coming in there and doing his thing. It's great, and especially when it's in those big important game situations like that. It does the body good, is what it does. It makes the heart sing. Makes the heart sing.
Well, we're late on the podcast this
week. Oh, we are so... No, it's
like,
Thursday.
Much like the games that the Reds have played.
We usually do these on Monday, but you know, it's been a very, very busy week at the Red Hot Mama household. How do you even list all of the things that have gone wrong this week? There was the computer, the Mac, doing its spazzy thing. What even happened there?
It was running slowly, so I was looking into changing just basically display settings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn some things off to make it run a little bit faster.
Sure.
And apparently I broke something because now the keyboard repeats. So if you push... one letter to type one letter.
Yeah.
You get about 15 of them.
Yeah.
That doesn't really work so well.
So if you actually want to type with this, what you have to do is you've got to type the one letter and then, use your mouse to highlight all of the superfluous copies of this letter. Hit the forward delete.
Right.
Because if you hit the backward delete, you're going to end up deleting all of them.
I do have a little bit of a workaround where, there's some accessibility features, presumably for people who... have slower hands and aren't able to just type real quickly.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So if you push down the key all the way, it'll type one letter. But you have to push every key down all the way. You can't type that way.
No.
You can type in passwords and stuff, which is
I've
been trying to do to work on it. But I haven't had enough time, and I don't really care, which is why we got you a laptop.
I know. Well, you know, the iMac was an expensive computer, but... you can just go and buy a laptop for relatively cheap these days. I mean, not to say that, you know, it's $20 or anything like that, but, you know, it's relatively cheap compared to,
especially, they have...
back in my day.
The technology stores have specials all the time, so...
Back in my day, you know, a household had one computer. Currently, in this house, do we have twice as many computers as people? I think we have twice as many
computers.
Not
ones that are running. functioning.
We have just short of twice as many that are functioning then.
Yeah, we've got 5 running.
Yeah.
Right now.
And there's only 3 people in the house.
Yes.
Only 2 of whom can read.
Right. Well, you know, the cat has to have a computer, too.
Yes, because she uses it. Let me tell you what. So there's that. There's we're trying to buy a house. Of course, this house that that we picked out that we wanted to put in an offer on has been on the market since September.
Since before that, I think. It was unclear.
Well, it's on and off, but it's been on since
September. Definitely since September this time.
So doesn't it just figure that, like, the day we put an offer on it, they get another offer?
Right.
Hello. So then we got this whole 2 offers thing, and
It's a bit nerve-wracking.
It kind of is.
I would prefer to get that house.
Yeah, me too.
I'm getting tired of looking at other houses.
Pretty much tired of looking at them, and I did like that one a lot. And so we'll see. I mean, they have until noon tomorrow to respond, and I don't know. I try to set myself up. You know, years of Reds fandom have taught me to prevent the heartbreak that you set your
expectations
low. Baseball,
giving life lessons.
That's right. That's exactly what it does. Baseball. It's like a mirror of our lives in uniforms. Speaking of uniforms.
We got to see the Reds road jerseys.
Yeah,
first time
I didn't
this
like
year.
Them.
We saw them at Reds Fest.
Yeah.
But it's a bit different on the field because it's all green and brown.
Yeah, it's in context. And you see a lot of the guys in them and you see how they look on them. You know, I had not noticed how stunning those white uniforms were at Reds Fest. And then you
get
see them
right
the,
next to the green of the grass.
Yeah, and then you see them on the field, cool. Like, man, those are really sharp. I didn't like the away ones. So, you know, I'm not just a uniform
homer, as
it turns out.
They've had gray off and on for decades. So I'm sure it's a throwback to that.
Yeah, it just seems like something about it is very old-fashioned looking.
It would be.
Except not like old-timey looking like they've done with the white. I'm just old-fashioned, like they dug them out of the supply closet from 1982 or something like that.
Well, you know it's not then, because in the 80s they had this elastic waistband. It was striped, red, white, red.
Well, and in 82 they would have been wearing really, really tight pants. And
I think 82 was...
Dunn would never stand for that.
No. I think 82 was also one of the worst years ever in Reds history. So,
however,
let's hope it doesn't that.
He would look better in them now than he has in recent years.
He's looking good. He's swinging the bat good.
He's swinging the bat very nicely. I have very little to complain about with Dunn.
So this time, you know, in April... In September last year, everyone choked except for Aurelia.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, in April, no one's really hitting particularly well,
mm-hmm.
except for Dunn. So he's figuring.
Well, the thing about Dunn is, though, he always does well in April.
Does he?
Yeah, that's kind of his thing. Is that he's real hot in April, and it'll be interesting to see whether he can keep it going.
Oh, that
you
would
know,
be wonderful.
Really, I think that I suspect that the team momentum will have something to do with it. If they're playing hard and they're playing good baseball and they're doing well, I think he could probably keep it going a little bit easier than if he continues to be the only one who's really doing well, you know, into May. That would get very tiring. I mean, in his defense, that would get very exhausting.
Well, there's Hamilton. He's gotten a couple starts.
Ooh.
And he's
what about that Josh Hamilton? Well. Dang. I tell you what.
Early front runner for Rookie of the Year award. You know.
Only candidate for a Rookie of the Year award, I think.
A weekend to the season.
Okay, seriously. They've played 9 games.
He's played 2.
What I think is striking about him is that you'd think, you know, coming from not having played above A ball, coming from the fact that it was like he can only claim being clean for what, like 6 months or something?
Yeah,
it's not even that long.
It's not.
You think, how in the world is this guy in baseball shape, you know? And not just like baseball shape, he's actually doing well. It's not like he's just getting by here. He's doing well. I don't know. We'll have to, I think it's a little premature to say that he's a complete success, you know? You never know.
It's a day at a time for him.
Sure.
And it will be for the rest of his life.
That's true. And he'll have some stamina to build up. I mean, he had the problems with the shin splints in spring training, and the baseball season is very long. You know, you gotta keep on hanging in there and stuff. But he's off to a very exciting start, and that's good to see.
I
think that the level of talent he must have is just unreal.
It has to be for him to get as many chances as he's had.
That's true. It's true. It's not fair, but it's true, and that's just the way it goes, you know? We've had this conversation. I'll be writing something about it here one of these days, the difference between talent and skill and our culture's approach to each one of them, because you know, you work to build skill.
That sounds hilarious.
Doesn't it, though? It's kind of like what I wrote about Rosa Parks.
Laugh riot, that Rosa Parks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what else we got?
Hey, how about that start to the season, you know?
Back when it started?
The homestand. Let's go with the homestand. Before they went on the road. They always kind of struggle when they go west, and I think it's been buried into their psyche after the last few years,
yeah,
how badly they've done.
I think it'd be really hard to go from stadiums where they're snowing out, out to the desert, back up to Chicago. I mean, seriously.
Well, they did pretty well at home where it was all snowing and flurries every day, so maybe they're going to kick butt here in Chicago.
I hope so.
That'd be awesome.
Well, you know, they are playing the Cubs. I mean, that's always a
yeah
two-year advantage.
But they did well in the homestand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure did.
I like it. They looked good there. Pitching's there. Their defense is better than it was last year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a kind of a matter of the offense now coming through when they need to, which is kind of the same old story. What we haven't seen is the big blowouts that we're used to seeing where, you know, they're beating teams 11-1.
Or getting beat.
9-1. No, well, that's not pertinent because that's about the pitching.
That's true.
And the defense, which we just addressed as being okay, but where, you know, they're scoring all these ridiculous number of runs in these where their opponents aren't scoring any, and then losing games, you know, 1-0, something like that.
Well, every single one of the Diamondbacks games was a one-run game.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Like, any... I don't know if the teams will be like that at the end of the year, but at least now the Reds and the Diamondbacks are pretty equal.
Seems to be, yeah. And you think...
I mean, either of the teams could have won any of those games.
Well, in fact, the Reds ought to have won them. They, you know, they kept leaving runners on.
Mm-hmm.
They kept just not coming through with the hits when they needed to. And it really came back to bite them. So I'm hoping that, you know, they're looking so strong in so many areas. If they can put some emphasis on this, maybe bring in somebody else mid-season.
Maybe. But they also have had guys struggling, like Phillips is... He got a few hits in the last game, but he's not been all that hot. Eddie hasn't been hot. David Ross, obviously, we've mentioned.
Yeah, apparently Eddie really hasn't been that hot. You know, they pulled him out of the game last night after
he didn't leg out the
pop-up, which, you know, I guess that's fine. It worked out all right. I would have been kind of irritated if they'd been out of pinch runners or something.
Didn't have the game. Well, like they have any pinch runners anyway. Who on the bench is fast enough for that?
I'm going to have to think about that for a minute. It's not Javi. Castro?
Yeah. He's not a speed demon.
I'll tell you what, we got to get up.
They need another outfielder. They've got four of them.
Well, you know, they are going to have to bring someone up. Because I just read that Alex Gonzalez is on the bereavement list.
Oh.
So he'll be on, it said that between 3 and 7 days. And I presume today counts. So there'll be at least two games where they need someone to back him up. Not, you'd think that they'd bring up in an infielder. But you never know.
Not necessarily. They've got Friel and Castro there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't seen Friel in the infield yet.
I doubt we will see him there very much. Especially right now when they have a shortage of outfielders.
I wouldn't be so sure about that because they're going to want to work Hamilton into the outfield more.
He's doing
very well, and so, you know, they might be looking for opportunities to bring Friel into the infield. Not only that, but, you know, he's going to want to keep his skill sharp there because that's just the kind of guy he is, and he will get he'll get rusty if they don't put him in there occasionally. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see how that works out. I do wonder who they'll be bringing up. Please, no more pitchers. It's a freaking parade of relievers every single night to get everyone their work as
right.
It is. I mean, writing these game wraps, it's like, and then Stanton pitched two for two outs, and then, you know, whoever.
Apparently,
Sarlos is apparently.
Jerry Nairn studied tape of La Russa in the offseason. Let's just hope he doesn't get arrested for drunk driving.
Well, he'd have to wait much later in his career for that.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, but he does it by necessity. I mean, he's got all these pitchers he's got to get work for constantly. Like, bring him in for... Yeah, Coffee will pitch one out.
Yeah,
well,
that was a waste.
Right there.
That was a waste.
Yeah, we'll have Coffee pitch for one out and then bring Weathers in for two innings. Hello.
Yeah.
Speaking of the pitchers, how about that Eric Milton, huh?
He looked mediocre to me.
You know, that's the thing. And his everyone is really down on Milton, and I'm... you know, among them. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not championing Milton at this point, but his one outing that he's had this season was not terrible, not at all. I mean, you got to.
It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
Certainly not great.
It wasn't good. Not good. Not great. It wasn't terrible, mm-hmm. And it was freezing ass cold. So I mean, that he had the benefit of the balls not carrying as quite as much as they might have. But nevertheless, it continues to be cold. You know, maybe they should work in as many starts for him before the sun comes out as they can.
Wear him out now.
Well, actually, they're skipping his start, as I understand.
That's good. Well, he's the fifth starter.
He is the fifth
very
starter.
Very clearly, yeah. Especially after with Belial and even Loesch to a lesser degree. Yeah. Belial's looking better than Loesch right now.
I think that's true. And, it's no doubt, I think, in my mind, that Milton is the fifth starter, though they haven't... they haven't officially.
Well, that's how they're acting. Though. You don't skip your third guy. Oh, you don't skip. You might skip the fourth guy occasionally, depending on it. But
seriously,
you skip the fifth guy. But what about Belial? Do you realize he's only 26?
No, I didn't realize that.
Doesn't it seem like he's been around forever?
Yeah, kind of.
He made his major league debut at 22.
Oh, there you go.
And he's had back problems. Dang. That's one reason. He was like this top prospect for the Braves.
When you're 22, that's way too young to be having back problems.
I know. He had some serious back issues as a top prospect with the Braves. And they're like, oh, he came back.
They need to get him some sort of...
they gave up on him because
capoeira or something. They need to get him something to strengthen those back muscles, get him in.
Hopefully he's good. If his back's there, he's a very good pitcher.
Get him one of those great big inflatable balls that people sit on to do sit-ups. And
they have one of those at the work gym.
Yeah. Or maybe a jet, water. What is it? Water aerobics. I bet water aerobics might help him out.
There you go. Next time we run into him.
Yeah.
I should have mentioned that.
Well, if we were to run into him, it would be more likely that he would be with the bats because we actually. Have access to talk to the pitchers in Indianapolis. The bullpen is right there next to the seats, so you can sit there and talk to him. So I hope we don't run into him.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That's all I'm saying. So what else is going on? Man.
So what do you think of the new Reds broadcast?
Tom Redmond. Whew. Well, I was never a fan of the idea of bringing on Jeff Brantley. And I'm not crazy about him in the booth, especially because he doesn't call a game. He doesn't give you the details of what's going on the field. So, he's reacting to things and he's saying stuff and you don't know what's happening. You're like, dude, I can't see what you're talking about. You have to paint me a visual here. And a lot of the stuff he says, it doesn't make sense. Some of it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And I think that might be something that you can grow to like and find
exactly
humorous.
That's the thing, and I think that he has some capacity to be what I didn't expect.
He'll get better with his play-by-play
was how much I'm not digging Tom Brenneman. People were excited when he came aboard. When we went to the Reds caravan stop in Muncie, people were all excited about it.
He was hosting it.
Oh, yeah. And they knew more about him than they knew about any of the players or anything going on with the team. They're like, oh yeah, the Reds have brought in Tom Brenneman. I don't like his delivery. He sounds like he's putting on a fake voice to me.
Yeah, he does have a kind of announcer voice.
Yeah.
There's a drive! It's like...
Yeah, he's trying to be a game show host or something. And Wink Martindale...
Coming up next on The Reds!
Exactly. But then he had a game not last night, but the night before, the middle game of the Diamondbacks, and really the first game of the Diamondbacks to a lesser extent. Man, he was just brutal. For one thing, he was ragging on the Reds a lot, which bothered other people more than it bothered me. I don't really care if he has bad things to say about the Reds. I would just like him to shut up occasionally. It was a constant stream of
la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
let silences go on longer than he probably ought to. I mean, you tune in the middle of the game, you're not sure if you've found the station or
That's
not.
That's right.
You'd be like, is that crowd noise or is it static? I'm not really sure.
It could
sure.
just be Joe taking a nap.
I think I'm going to have to wait for 15 seconds to see if he speaks again. But, you know, I don't know if it's that you get accustomed to that or if that's just natural with the pace of baseball. You know, you don't have to be talking all the time, yeah. which I say as I talk all the time. But there's no game going on, to be fair to me. It is an off day.
We have no crowd noise here.
No crowd noise, just the sound of our five-year-old who hasn't gone to bed sitting here breathing through his mouth because his nose is all stuffy. Anyway, that was the thing that really got to me about Tom was that it was just a constant flow, just blah 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 blah, blah. And it was all negative. It was all really grumpy, bitchy sounding stuff, and some of it was just wrong. You know, when he makes some sort of like wild assertion, and we like, these Reds, they don't have any patience at the plate. Every one of them goes up there hacking, and then it's just like a long tirade, and then he'll stop and wait for Chris Welsh, who I'm inordinately fond of, so I think I give him more credit than he probably deserves, but actually we're seeing everyone else's responses to Tom turned out to be quite vindicating for me, because I thought it was just me. And then Chris is like the nicest guy in the world, you know? And he's trying to disagree with he's feeling the need to disagree, for one thing, because I think he'll accept about anything. But he's feeling the need to disagree. Are you trying to stop
me? No, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I was trying to find a place to rest my hand, and I poked you a little bit.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Well, it didn't hurt. I just thought you were trying to tell me to shut up, and
no.
You can just cut me off.
No, I just...
No, I was just telling a story about Chris Welsh. He wasn't getting the chemistry, wasn't going on there.
Yeah, but he was disagreeing.
Right, he was feeling a little bit. He was actually feeling the need to.
Okay, had a bird doesn't strike.
Adam Dunwell actually walks quite a bit. You may have heard.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of bad, but I imagine it would be even worse if, for some weird reason, Tom Brenneman and George Grand were in the same booth, and George Grand started disagreeing.
If that happened, yeah, that might actually signal the apocalypse, which would mean Cubs World Series. You heard it here first. George Grand disagrees with someone in the booth. Cubs won the World Series. What else we got?
Is that it? Reds coming up, going to the Cubs next?
Yeah, the Reds go up to Chicago next. No word yet on whether they'll actually be able to...
Maybe they'll be playing it in San Diego. Who knows?
Who knows? How would you like to be a Brewers fan? How would you like to be up in Milwaukee watching two teams that have like nothing to do with anything near you play?
This weather is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's just the freakiest thing.
Yeah, seriously. It's pretty weird and kind of disturbing. But, you know, it'll be summer and hotter than hell before you know it, so...
We can hope.
There you have it. What about the rest of the baseball and sports world? You got any news stories for us?
I have... a couple. This one isn't funny or anything, but for the New York Yankees opening day, they had the 6-year-old son and the widow of Corey Lytle throughout the ceremonial first pitch.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
6-year-old son, huh?
Yeah.
That's about the same age as my son.
I know, wouldn't that stink?
Yes, totally.
And you wouldn't get to throw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium.
No, probably. Well, I wouldn't really want to at Yankee Stadium because, you know, I don't really follow the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be it doesn't really, you know, make up for anything. But it is nice. It's a nice little gesture for the team to do.
Yeah, I thought that was cute. That was good. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that's silly and has nothing to do with baseball.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with baseball?
Nothing at all.
All right, then.
You know, during our spring training vacation,
oh, yes,
we played a lot of rock, paper, scissors.
It's one of the few games you can play with a non-reading 5-year-old
That's
who's
right.
looking to kill time as you wait the 2.5-hour wait to get into Captain Kurtz.
That's good food there, though.
Mm.
Apparently ESPN agreed to air a Rock, Paper, Scissors League championship.
I've heard of this.
Yes. Anything not to air baseball games, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
At least baseball games that aren't the Red Sox and Yankees. Anyway, but it gets worse.
Okay.
From the makers of the Rock, Paper, Scissors League championship comes the Pillow Fight League.
Oh, my gosh.
No joke. Just a bunch of women hitting each other with pillows on ESPN.
Will they be scantily clad? What are they?
They'll probably be in pajamas.
What are they competing? I mean, what are the rules
of
this competition?
I have no idea. I didn't really investigate that.
I find that's amazing. Far. That you didn't really investigate that. That sounds like the sort of thing that, you know, guys would want to investigate.
The article didn't have much details, I think. They're probably...
Wow. Well, they... I mean, you think... Is this the same people who put up on the air guitar competition?
I can't remember.
Air guitar competition, another...
I don't know.
Questionable sport. Though, actually, at least a valid competition. I mean, it's a performance.
Yeah, it is performance.
Whereas pillow fighting, not so much.
I don't know what the rules are.
I don't even know what, you know. Do you get points for knocking small children off of the bed?
They need to have Frank Thomas there, that's for sure. But what I think is funny is, this is ESPN having a pillow fight league. The same network that fired Harold Reynolds for allegedly hugging a woman. Now having a pillow fight league.
Well, I mean, they won't get to hug the pillow fighters. You know, gotta keep your hands to yourself, guys. No means no.
Except when it means yes.
No, it still means no. Even then.
Okay.
All right. Is that all that you got for this week? That's probably good. I can tell it's time to stop. All right. Well, then, until they're going up to Chicago, and we'll be looking forward to that series. And until then, keep on hanging in there and go Reds.
The Red Hot broadcast is recorded weekly in a land where the impossible can happen, like the Cubs winning 95 games. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.